Ixnay on the ejector prey. You didn't know I was multilingual, did you? You have your Bibles. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. We're going to read three verses this morning. If you don't know me very well, you know one of two things happens when I only have three verses as my text. It's going to be a very short sermon, or it's going to be a very long one. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the unction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we will not leave the way we came, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, if you have a King James Version Bible, that word is quicken. He will quicken your mortal bodies. Make it alive. I want to read it again. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he, who is that God, who raised Christ from the dead, will also quicken or give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The second verse from Romans 8, verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. That's coming soon to a planet near you. And the last verses we're going to read, flip it over to chapter 9. We're going to look at just a couple of verses here, beginning verse 7. Romans 9, 7. In fact, let's go ahead and back up to verse 6, I guess. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seeds of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. The word of promise. There is a word of promise this morning, church. There is a promise made by God. And the people who are the children of God are the children of the promise. They're the ones who hold on to the promises of God by faith. They do not hold on intellectually. They do not hold on because their grandparents told them to hold on. They do not hold on because they have educatedly surmised they should hold on. They hold on by faith the word of promise that God has gave them. And the word of promise is, if this same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he will make alive your mortal body on that day. Glory to God. That's good news. I said that's good news. Praise God. Verse 11 says, quicken, make alive by the Spirit. You say, well, how in the world is this thing going to happen? Have you ever wondered about the rapture? The dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are alive and remain are going to be caught up. How is that going to happen? And God told us how it's going to happen. By the Spirit. The only way it's going to happen to me or you is if the same Spirit that raised Jesus dwells in me. If that Spirit does not dwell in you, it won't happen to you. But if that Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then he will make alive your mortal body. Now, he'll make it alive whether you're dead or whether you're living. For the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. It's going to happen. It's going to happen on one day, on one hour, on one moment, one microsecond. You know, in computer worlds, they have the terms milliseconds, right? milliseconds. That's a thousandth of a second. Sometimes, being a computer programmer, I want something to happen frequently, and I have to tell it, don't do it right away. Wait 500 milliseconds. That's a half a second. I don't know how quick a twinkling of an eye is. I'm sure it's in milliseconds, maybe even smaller than that. But on one day and one moment and one hour, the dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. It's going to happen. And he said it's going to happen to those who have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living in their mortal body. Now in verse 23, he talks about this groaning. This groaning. Another word for that is longing. Have you ever longed for something? When Carol and I were dating, I just longed to see her face. I groaned within myself. Oh, my heart went pitter-patter. I can't wait until I get to see her smile again. And now, glorious day, the wedding happened, and I get to see it every day forever. And that's what the rapture of the church is going to be like. Right now, we are groaning to see our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, the one who paid the price for me and for my sins. I long to see the one who loved me so much that he laid down his life for me, and my spirit within me groans for that day of redemption when I will get to be with him forever after that wedding day in the sky. Can I get an amen? And so we are groaning or longing for the redemption of our bodies. Now, I don't know about you, but my body does not respond the way it used to respond. I used to play tennis in high school. Somebody could hit a ball, and I could, bam, I could be there. I could charge the net, and they could lob it over my head, and I could run back in full stride and hit that running backwards and return it over the net. Now, in my mind, I can still do that. But that's the only place that it happens. Not too long ago, my best friend from high school and I had a tennis match. And let me tell you, it wasn't like it used to be. And so, my body longs for redemption. The pains that I feel in the morning when I get up, the headaches, the other pains. God never intended you to live forever in this body. This is a tent. One day, it's going to be moving day. Amen? That's one moving day I don't dread. Because I don't have to pack anything because I ain't taking nothing with me. I'm going to be moving out of this tent and into my mansion one day. And so I am groaning, I am longing for the redemption of my body. Now, in chapter 9, he compared it to this story of Abraham and Isaac. Now, we know that Abraham is called the father of faith because he believed God. But it didn't stop there, because Abraham didn't just believe God. He believed God for something specific. He promised him a son in his old age. Now, it was such a ridiculous promise that he was 100 years old that his wife laughed. You know, that's one of those you-got-to-be-kidding-me laughs, right? And when you tell people that you're a Christian and that you believe that Jesus is coming soon, and that you believe that the graves are going to open and we which are alive remain are going to be caught up together in the air, some people laugh. Same laugh. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But you see, Abraham believed in the promise, the word of the promise. He fastened his eyes. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, being fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able to perform. So he was a child of promise. Now, when Jesus came and was living on the earth, he had many confrontations with the Pharisees. They were the religious crowd of the day. And they called themselves, "We are the sons of Abraham." And Jesus said, "If you were the sons of Abraham, you would do the work of Abraham, but you're the sons of the devil. That's why you're doing their work." He didn't mince any words, did he? Called it like it was. And because of that, they did not receive the inheritance, though they were physically the sons of Abraham. But in chapter 9, Paul, writing to the Romans, tells us it's not the people who are physically in a relationship, who are physically descendants of Abraham. It is the ones who are the children of the promise. It's the ones who, regardless of the ridicule, regardless of the mockery, regardless of the gainsayers, who hold on to the promise of God in unbelief, without any unbelief, and they will receive it. Amen? You never receive anything from God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you know what? I reminded my wife this week. I said, Jonah is going to be teaching Wednesday, so Sunday, if the Lord comes on the 22nd, 23rd, Sunday will be my next to the last sermon. So you might as well get your helmet on now, because I'm hitting you with both barrels. You're going to live by faith, or you're going to die in your sins. The end. We could go home right there, couldn't we? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I posted this morning on Facebook that this morning you're going to have a checkup from the neck up. Now, I stole that from Zig Ziglar, so I can't get any, take any credit for that. We have to understand what my faith is made of. This week I've been praying a lot. I've been reevaluating myself, the things I've done, the things I've said. How much faith did I have? Why did I not have more faith at certain junctions of my life? Why did I not wait on God when I should have waited on God? Why did I turn left instead of right? You know what? Those are questions we need to answer. And the good news is, if you've blown it, you can just shake it off and say, God, forgive me, and keep on going. The problem is, the people who cross the finish line get the prize, Paul said. Amen? And you may have got tired, your side might hurt, you might have got discouraged, you might have quit for a while. But amen, thank you, God, his mercies are made new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And I'm going to cross that finish line, and I'm going to do it one way and one way only, and that is by faith. By faith. Now, everything Adam did to humanity, and I do say to humanity at the tree, and everything Satan is doing because of what Adam did at the tree, is not a good enough excuse. Without exception, the cross addressed every bit of it. I said the cross addressed every bit of it. At the cross, the second tree, the first tree was nullified. Aren't you glad? The second Adam, Jesus Christ, nullified what the first Adam did. Aren't you glad? And what we have now is enough, everybody say enough, enough to live the life that God has called you to live. It's enough. But we wait with expectation for our glorified body. We don't have it yet. I remember years ago, one guy told me, you know, well, because Jesus paid everything on the cross, you can live a sinless life. And, you know, and I looked and I said, you're crazy. You are crazy. If I could live like I'm going to live in heaven, I wouldn't have to go to heaven. You know, and the redemption process began in my life when I said yes to Jesus Christ, but it doesn't finish until I move into my glorified body. The redemption process is complete at the rapture, at the resurrection of the church. And then it is finished. Amen. Hallelujah. Many Christians start out with faith in the finished work of the cross, and then they run into Satan and his lies, and immediately they get discouraged and quit. I've been there. I know what it's like. Some of you have too. And when that happens, they think the cross doesn't work. You hear what I'm talking about? I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where people live. Well, I tried that Christianity thing and it doesn't work. I prayed and I asked God and he didn't heal my mama. I prayed and I asked God, he didn't do this or he didn't do that. And they think it doesn't work. They think that their faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work, everything that took place, they think it's all just a fairy tale. Well, yeah, I don't know. When the Lord called me in the ministry years ago and I got out of the Air Force, all hell broke loose. I expected carpets to roll and doors to open. I mean, I had a Moses burning bush experience. God met me, told me, go to Tahlequah, continue around. And all hell broke loose. And I got discouraged. Can I get an amen from the rest of you real people out there? All right? You get discouraged. You say, God, if you love me, why are you letting this happen? God, if you love me, God, if you call me, why is it? And we get discouraged and we quit sometimes. We just quit. We just give up and say, well, I thought God was for me. I thought God was on my side. How can this thing happen to me? Somehow they think that just because they're Christian, they're never going to have another problem. Can't say amen, say ouch. And while we may fail, the cross never fails. It will forever be a beacon of victory in the lives of people who hold on. See, sometimes faith is holding on. Some of them old-timers, they always knew you were going to backslide from Sunday to Sunday, and you'd see some of them old-timers, and they'd always say, you yet holding on? Keep on keeping on. They'd always have that, keep on keeping on. In fact, my first pastor, where I got saved at, not long ago, I found him on the internet, sent him an email. After all these years, you know what he said? Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. When you can't keep on a little longer. Because they understand that faith is 90% determination and 10% inspiration. They understand that faith keeps going even when others quit. They understand that faith doesn't stop. Faith doesn't quit. Faith doesn't give up. Faith is in it for the long haul. Faith holds on to the promise until the day of redemption. Hallelujah. And while we may fail, the cross never fails. We will fail. We will fail. We will fail. We will make mistakes. We will get discouraged. We will doubt. We will fail because our faith is not as strong as we think it is. Back in 2006, I had one of the most cataclysmic things. My whole world turned upside down. I thought I had strong faith. I found out it was not nearly as strong as I thought it was. But you know what? It's okay. Because faith untested is not strong faith. You will never know how strong your faith is until it's tested. Amen? Stress level. What is your stress level? I remember my father, when he was about 90, they were going to have to do surgery on him. Now, I guess he was probably in his late 80s. And he had a little bit of congestive heart failure. They had to do a stress test. They put you on a treadmill. You know, walking an 80-year-old man who walked across Europe in World War II on a treadmill puts a lot of stress on the heart. He was at that, by that age, he was barely getting around. And they gave him a stress test to see if his heart could handle it. Sometimes the very reason why you go through the things you go through is God is putting you under a stress test to see if you can handle it, to see what your faith is made of. And he that faints in the day of adversity, his faith is weak. That's what the Word says. Moses came to Pharaoh. He was on a mission from God. He had had a word from God. How many of you ever had a word from God before? Amen. You know, you can have a word for God 1 minute and quit the next. Think about Peter. Who do men say that I am? Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven. And I'm going to be going to the cross pretty soon. Far be it for you to go to the cross. Get thee behind me, Satan. 1 minute he's hearing from God, the next minute he's speaking in the roles of Satan. In the same time. That's how quick we can go from the promises of God to the flesh. Moses had a word from God. Let my people go. Pharaoh said, no. What am I? Well, God, I thought I heard from you. I thought I heard a word from God. I thought I heard from God. And now look, the devil's telling me no. Pharaoh's saying no. What's going on? Just because the devil says no doesn't mean that you haven't heard from God. Just because you are opposed by Satan does not mean that God is not in control. Just because your faith is properly anchored doesn't mean that Satan is going to just fold because you've got a word from God. Amen? Satan will try your faith just as Pharaoh did Moses' and Aaron's. Now, how many times did he have to go back to Pharaoh? 7 times. seven times. How many times should I pray? You ever heard somebody say, well, if you got faith, you won't have to pray but once. I think that's malarkey. You know what? I pray until God answers. I keep praying. I keep knocking. Me again, Lord. In fact, the Bible says that sometimes you don't get what you ask for until you bug God, until he just gives it to you. That's Roger's paraphrase version. And then, as if it's not enough, after Moses comes seven times to Pharaoh, and God is sending the plagues of the fire, flies, and the plagues of the Nile turning to blood, and the plagues of the frogs, and let my people go. No, let my people go. Let my people go. As if that's not enough. You know, he said, well, they must have enough time if they want to go out and worship, so I'm just going to make them make their bricks and get their own straw. Remember that? And so sometimes when you start to step out on faith, not only does the devil resist you, but things get worse. I remember years ago when I was in Tulsa, we were having financial problems, and I hadn't been tithing. I said, Lord, I'm going to tithe. I don't care what. I have got to be obedient to God. The very next day after I put the check in the plate, the hot water heater went out. Now, this is real world stuff, man. This is the children of Israel saying, we're mad at you, Moses. Why didn't you just leave us alone? Now we got to get straw on top of all this. You're making matters worse. And sometimes your faith will make matters worse. Sometimes you'll step out and try to have faith in God and believe God, and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. But faith untested, is it not faith? Once your faith is anchored, Satan often doubles the temptation, doubles the doubt, doubles the unbelief. And if you fail, you ask God to forgive you. You get up and you go on. Faith must be tested, and great faith must be tested greatly. Can I say that again? Faith must be tested, and great faith must be tested greatly. So if the battle is big, the victory is going to be bigger. If the resistance is strong, the faith is going to be stronger. If the trial is horrendous, the prize on the other side is going to be glorious. Keep on keeping on. Hold on to the promise. Amen. Now, strength comes from confession. When my grandmother passed away, they gave me back a Bible that I had given her. And she had written in it, we must not magnify our weakness, but obey God. And say as a testimony, let the weak say, I am strong. You know, how many of us magnify our weaknesses? Well, Lord, you don't know what I'm going through. But victory comes by our confession. And you say, well, that would be lying. I don't feel that. No, that would be confessing by faith. You see, words of my mouth program my heart. So the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. And I love what the Old Testament prophet said, though there be no cattle in the stalls, the Lord is still on the throne. Amen. It doesn't matter if your refrigerator is empty. It doesn't matter if your bank account's empty. It doesn't matter if your faith reservoir is empty. You can confess the Lord Jesus Christ. God has got it all under control. And watch God move. He's a God of faith. Now, because of the extra workload, some Israelites, they turned on Moses, and some of your friends or family may turn on you. Jesus said, think not that I came to bring peace, but a sword, and that a man's enemies may be in his own home. Well, what is that talking about? That's talking about when you begin to confess Jesus Christ, when you begin to step out by faith, and have the audacity to believe the bedrock of God's word, you're going to rile some people. It's going to happen. Jesus said it would. And the message of the cross exposes flesh, false doctrine, religious spirits, and the spirit of the Antichrist. which is very prominent in today's society. But if you stay the course, victory will be yours. If I stay the course, victory will be mine. Victory over the flesh, victory over the devil, victory for unsaved loved ones. Amen? Stay in the course. Romans 8:23 is the finish line, and until then, we have to continue to fight the fight of faith. Now, God provided manna in the wilderness. We know the story. The children of Israel needed food, so God made manna. Manna means, what is it? They didn't know what to call it. They said, what is it? They said, it's good enough for me. So that's what manna meant. Meant, what is it? What are we having for breakfast this morning? What is it? Sounds like the Abbott and Costello routine. Who's on first, doesn't it? What is it? Yes. No, that stuff there. What is it? That's what it is. What is it? Yes. Manna. What is it? Sorry, I couldn't help. Too funny to pass up. But in spite of seeing God rain food down from heaven, they still murmured and complained. They did. What was the problem? They could not trust God. You see, faith means I trust God. I trust God. That's why a lot of people don't tithe. They don't trust God. They put on a good religious show, but when it comes down to it, they just continue to rob God. That's what the Bible says. When you don't tithe, you're robbing God. They want him to quicken their mortal body, but when it comes to their money, he's not in charge. I had a lady tell me, 90-year-old grandma, saint of God. Well, there's nothing in the New Testament about tithing. And I said, okay. I didn't even argue with her because, you know, when people are that closed-minded, there's no trying to convince them. But in case you think that, let me tell you what Jesus said to the Pharisees. You tithe on your mint and your cumin as you should, but neglect the weightier things of mercy. I think that as you should ought to be enough in the New Testament to say tithe, don't you? And so the question is, do I have rapture-ready faith, Spirit-led faith, Holy Ghost faith? You know, the rich young ruler missed Jesus. That's likened to missing the rapture, because there was one thing in his life that he wasn't willing to let go of. His ugly, stinking, selfish pride refused to have this one area of his life line up with God, and he missed a relationship with Jesus. If the Lord is coming soon, I don't want to miss the relationship with Jesus. I don't want to miss the rapture. I've been going through my bucket list. I've been calling people on the phone saying, hey, if I've offended you way back when, I'm sorry. I've been going through my bucket list because Jesus Christ is coming again. And I want nothing between my Lord and my Savior and me. Can I get an amen? So Jesus said, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember someone has ought against you, you'll make it right. Amen. And sin is an offense to faith. Now I'm going to step on some spiritual religious toes here. I told you I'm hitting you with both barrels. The subject of homosexuality has been in the headlines lately a lot. And I kind of mentioned this a little bit in Sunday school. It is not the role of the church to judge sinners. Now, I'm not saying I'm making an excuse for sin. We know what the Bible says. The Bible says judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:1, judge not lest you be judged. And Carol and I were talking this week, and the reality is, for every person who's ever married someone who's been divorced, Jesus said they committed adultery. And I'm guilty. I told you, I've been going through my bucket list, man. I want it all under the blood. You hear what I'm saying? And so the weightier thing for me is not to get all caught up in what someone's doing over here, what someone's doing over here, especially if they're not saved. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're sinning. They're sinners. That's what sinners do. And Jesus loves them. What I need to do is be concentrating on me. What I need to do is begin to look at my life. What I need to do is begin to take inventory of me. Am I ready to meet the Lord? Can I get an amen? What we're talking about. Judgment must begin in the house of the Lord. So it all comes down to faith. If you have a fight with your wife, and she's mad at you, do you divorce her? Well, of course not. What kind of stupid question is that? Well, if you pray to God and he doesn't answer you, do you divorce him? Faith waits. Faith holds on. Faith doesn't give up. And if you're a child of the promise, you don't stop believing in the promise just because God doesn't answer or doesn't make sense. Man, if I could have a dollar for every time God didn't make sense in my life, I would be rich. I don't have to understand it. I just have to believe. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever understands it, whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. You know, growing up, being kind of a bookworm, science, one of my idols was an author by the name of Isaac Asimov. I don't know if anybody's heard of him. In fact, he was a very prolific writer. He wrote many great science fiction books, but he also wrote a lot of science books. And when other kids were out doing fun things, I was reading Asimov on Physics. Sounds fun, doesn't it? Told you I'm a nerd. But the reality is, one of the books Asimov wrote, and I never read it, was Asimov on the Bible. This very intelligent man ridiculed the Bible, had a lot of negative things to say about it, and I'm sure was responsible for shattering many people's faith. Asimov is dead now, where it's appointed to men once to die, and after that, the judgment. And even though I found his writing entertaining, I seriously question that he made it to heaven. There's going to be a lot of people with reputation in hell. Renowned people. People who were renowned and looked up to by this world. But the only escape for hell is still faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We must stand fast in the faith. Who are you going to believe? When I was in Abilene, Texas, my second term in the Air Force, my first wife, we had a big fight. I was very immature. Spent the last $60 of our money on an Atari 2600 game system. And she said, "I'm going home to mother." She took my little son, Nathan, who was only about 9 months old, and took a bus from Abilene, Texas to Omaha, Nebraska. My world was shattered. I had to move out of the house and into a barracks with a guy who played Prince at 5,000 decibels. It was a trying time in my life. And I began to fast and pray. "Lord, I'm sorry." You know, just because you're Christian doesn't mean that you're not stupid sometimes. And sometimes people blame the devil on things that isn't the devil's fault, it's just their own stupidity. But aren't you glad God is merciful? I fasted and prayed all day, walked out behind the barracks, out into that Abilene night. The sun went down, the stars came out, and I was praying. Nothing but sand. You just barely get out from that area, and there's nothing that grows out in western Texas. And I began to pray, and I began to cry, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. Said, "She'll come back." So I dried my tears and went and got $10 worth of quarters. This was before cell phones. Dropped a handful of quarters in a payphone and called Nebraska. Told her what the Lord told me. She said, "I hate your guts. I'm never coming back." My jaw dropped to the ground and I pulled the phone away from my ear. And I said, "Lord," and as clearly as I can hear you, he said, "Who are you going to believe?" There are many voices in this world. Many. But there's only one voice that matters. Who are you going to believe? Of course, I said, well, you, Lord. And then began one of the earliest journeys of my life of learning what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. When they went to fight the Battle of Jericho, they didn't just fight Jericho, they marched around it. And then they went home. And they did this 7 times. When Moses, as I said earlier, went before Pharaoh, Pharaoh didn't immediately cave in, neither did the walls of Jericho. He went before him 7 times. When Nahum, who had leprosy, was told if he would dip in the River Jordan, his leprosy would be healed. But he didn't get it when he dipped once. He had to dip 7 times. One day Satan came to God about Job. Have you seen my servant Job? God is pointing the devil at Job. Have you seen my servant? Have you seen my servant Roger? No, God, stop. Ixnay, right? That's what happens to us sometimes. God has so much faith in your faith that he sicks the devil on you just for the fun of it, to watch you shine. Lord, what kind of crazy God are you? Why would you sick the devil on me? Because faith untested is not faith. Great faith requires great trials, great tests. So Job is sitting there minding his own business. Everything's going fine. He's blessed. He's got camel. He's got sheep. He's got oxen. He's got kids. Everything's great. Life's great. Everybody's happy. And all of a sudden, the messenger comes in. The Sabaeans took your oxen, your asses, and killed your servants. Number one. The next servant comes in. Fire fell and consumed the sheep and your servants. Number two. The Chaldeans in 3 bands took your camels and killed your servants. Number three. Next servant comes in. Great wind collapsed the house where your sons and daughters were, and they all died. Number four. He rent his clothes, he shaved his head, and he fell and he worshipped the Lord, saying, naked I came to the Lord, and naked I'll go. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But it didn't stop there. Then boils came all over his body from the soles of his feet to the crowns of his head. Number five, then he had a wife who was not encouraging like Carolyn is, and she said, just curse God and die. Number six. And then, as if that wasn't enough, then 3 selfish, religious, judging friends came to him just to make him extra miserable. Number seven. And at the end, Job had more than he started out with. Because he did not give up on God. He held on to his faith. Come on up, Nola. So the question is, who are you listening to? Faith that does not quit is really the only faith there is. Think about it. Faith that does not quit is really the only faith there is. Anything else may be hope. Anything else may be, I think so, I feel it, I don't feel it. But the only real faith is faith that doesn't quit. Let's all stand. One day on the mountain of Carmel, Elijah had a showdown with the worshipers of Baal. They were a lot like people are today. They didn't have an opinion one way or another. They were more worried about being politically correct or whatever the case may be. And Elijah said to the worshipers, to the people of Israel, why do you halt between 2 opinions? If God is God, worship him. If Baal is God, worship him. In other words, get off the fence and make up your mind. Get off the fence and make up your mind. And then, of course, you know the story. They each tried to call fire from heaven. The worshipers of Baal failed miserably. And a simple prayer by the man of God brought the fire down. And the people who were standing on the fence said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. You know, there's going to be some people that are going to be saying that after the rapture that are left behind. that stupid old preacher was right. The Lord, He is God. But what a sad thing that would be. Why not choose today to put your faith in Jesus Christ before it's too late? Before you have to go through the tribulation? Why falter between two opinions? The Lord, He is God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You, Lord, that the trying of our faith works patience. The trying of our faith is like gold or precious metals tried in the fire. We know, Lord, that sometimes the trials that we go through, the heartache, the pain, the loss, the fear, are nothing more than just the boiler of our life, churning up the impurities to be scraped off so that when it's all said and done, our faith comes forth like precious gold. Lord, we need You today. For many of us have had trials, tribulations. Many of us have doubted. Many of us have feared. And some of us even today, Lord, struggle. But we know that You love us with an everlasting love. That You promised that You'd never leave us if we would look to You. You promised, Lord, that even when we were in our mother's belly, You knew us. You've been there. You saw our tears at the midnight hour. You felt our hurt and our loneliness and our pain. And that You are ever working on our behalf. But You can only take us so far. You can only take us to the door of the ark. We still have to go in. And there is a flood coming. Peter said this time it will not be water but fire. And God is calling you into the ark of His love, Jesus Christ. God is calling you. Won't you answer? Won't you say yes? Hallelujah. I'd like us to just, as we close, let's just reaffirm our faith with a little prayer of dedication this morning. I'm going to pray, and Nola's going to echo me with the congregation. Dear God in heaven.
Dear God in heaven.
I come to You.
I come to You.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I know.
I know.
Sometimes I doubt.
Sometimes I doubt.
Sometimes I falter.
Sometimes I falter.
But Lord, I know.
But Lord, I know.
That this world.
That this world.
Is about to change.
Is about to change.
And I want to be ready.
And I want to be ready.
Forgive me for my sins.
Forgive me for my sins.
Wash me afresh.
Wash me afresh.
In the blood of Christ.
In the blood of Christ.
I believe.
I believe.
That Jesus Christ.
That Jesus Christ.
Is the Son of God.
Is the Son of God.
I believe.
I believe.
There is redemption.
There is redemption.
In His name.
In His name.
And according to Your word.
And according to Your word.
Which cannot lie.
Which cannot lie.
I'm washed.
I'm washed.
I'm cleansed.
I'm cleansed.
I'm saved.
I'm saved.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
What are we singing? How about victory is mine?
That's what was in my mind.
Well, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine today. God told Satan, get thee behind. Victory is mine today. Well, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine today. God told Satan, get thee behind. Victory is mine today. One more time, everybody. Well, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine today. God told Satan, get thee behind. Victory is mine today. God bless you. Give someone a big hug. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.